I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the first team, Joe DeLeon, Ryan Roberts. Today, we're talking about two more 2025 NFL draft prospects, another scouting report episode. We're moving on to two edge prospects that are going to be premier names in this class, that being James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee, and then the Purdue to Texas A&M transfer, Nick Scowerton. Ryan, let's start with James Pierce Jr.
Yep.
This is a guy that you were early on. As sad as this is to say, I don't think you're able to claim that you were first. I think that you definitely were first, but I don't think anyone's going to believe you. So I'm putting that warning out there. You posted about him in like October, and now everyone's talking about him as the best prospect in the class. And again, I have this fear that no one's going to believe you.
I have the, that's funny, Joe. I was actually going to look that up real quick because I have the exact game that I recommended him to an agent for. It was very early in the season. What was his first big game? There was one game where it was just like, and it wasn't against anybody that good either, but it was like one of the first games where I was just like, that 27, it was Virginia, dude. It was literally the first game of the season. And I was like, who the heck is 27? Like, I have no idea who that kid is. And then obviously he started doing a little bit of digging into his background and it all started to kind of make a little bit more sense. But, you know, I'm not going to claim I was first because I'm sure there's going to be somebody that's like, hey, I saw a game when he was a true freshman as a backup and I knew he was going to be the guy. But yeah, first game of the year, I texted the RPM group chats that, hey, there's this 27 kid who I want to put up for cross checks. This kid I think is legit. And we did recommend him to an agent. Not that that matters anymore because he's a projected top 10 overall draft pick and he's probably not going to get picked up by an agent. But that doesn't matter. But he's a great football player, no doubt.
Interesting thing about him, just general background wise, he wasn't really in the stratosphere as one, and I'll let you provide a little more context because you always have good notes on these guys, but he wasn't really in the stratosphere as one of the top edge rushers prospects in his recruiting cycle. He wasn't, and he had this really just amazing, just blooming season last year where he seemingly got better on a week-to-week basis to the point where it almost feels like he's a no-brainer as the first overall pick.
Here is one of the most bizarre recruiting backgrounds of all time, Joe, because if you look at his recruiting background, he came out of the state of North Carolina. He was a – make sure I have this right. Yeah, he was a Chambers High School player in Charlotte, North Carolina. So he was a part of the – I guess that would be the 2022 recruiting class. Yeah, I think that's correct. Yep. Weird one, though, ready from the rankings perspective. He was rated as a five-star by On3. On3 had him as the number 11 overall player in the class, the number two edge rusher in that class. So he was rated as a five-star. But then the next two guys that were highest on him were 247 Sports and Rivals, who were very close to one another. One had him as number 160 overall player. The other one had him as 173, Joe. But that's not the weird part, okay? It's not the weird part. ESPN had him ranked as a three-star recruit.
Okay, stop. Don't bring up the ESPN rankings. I don't even know who does them. Well, like I have a general idea who does the 247 rankings because I listen to their recruiting show just to kind of know who's these next up-and-comers.
Yes.
Working for Yahoo, I know who some of the Rivals folks are just from seeing their stuff put out there. But I have no idea who ESPN is, so we're not talking about them. Any other tidbits on his background before we... we break him down.
It's just super bizarre, man. Because again, five star, two mid four stars, and then a three star. Yeah. It's just very kind of all over the place. But I mean, pretty general background. You know, again, Charlotte, North Carolina kid, listed 6'5", 242 pounds. Played a decent amount as a freshman, but was really just kind of getting his feet wet. His breakout became this past year, all SEC performer, 10 plus sacks, 12 and a half tackles for loss. Really lanky, lean frame, but he also is a super young guy. Actually, not as young as Scowerton, though, when we get to Scowerton. But this kid is only 20 years old, will not turn 21 until August during the season. So when he enters the draft, he will be 21 throughout the majority of his rookie campaign next year. So he's a younger cat, but obviously he had the tremendous breakout in 2023.
You mentioned the length and the leanness. He's listed at 240. I kind of think that he needs to get up to the Nick Scowerton weight and be a little more like 255-ish, 250-ish, a little heavier than that.
I was going to say, can I cut you off? Because we can agree that there's no way he's 240-something pounds right now, right?
Yeah, he looks 225. But okay, so to this point, I think that what makes him fit into this rare bucket,
yep,
for how lean he is, he's pretty strong. He's pretty strong for that. That's not his best trait, but he's got pretty good strength. What makes him freaky, though, is the length and then the burst and the bend. Do you think, and I will go as far as to throw this out there, I think bare minimum this is a 4.4 guy at the combine. I kind of wonder, and I am hoping, because I love when guys put up ridiculous numbers, that there's maybe a 4.39 in the books if he's coming in at a lighter weight.
It's always possible. I mean, 4.4 something I think is very possible. I would guess probably 4.4 mid to 4.4 high. I mean, this is a freaky athlete, though, especially because I do think he's at a lighter weight right now. I don't think he's in the 240 something pound range. He's listed at what, 242 right now at 6'5". Like, I hope that is off season weight. That's what he's kind of working at right now, because he's in the 240s. I'm fine. Like, it's cool. Like, if he gets up to 250, that's great. 240s, it's passable, though. Two names, Joe, that I think are going to be brought up with him, okay? One more modern, one a little bit not historical, because we're just talking about early 2000s. But one is going to be Javon Kearse, who was nicknamed the Freak, came in out of the University of Florida, was a stellar outside pass rusher, but was like this. Super lanky, long arms, but freaky type of athlete. Literally, his nickname was the Freak coming out of the University of Florida, right? So Javon Kearse is one. The other one, more modern one that we know, and I think you... Well, I definitely scouted him. I guess maybe you didn't. I don't know. Brian Burns, Florida State, is the where he was the same way, man. Everyone knew Brian Burns played at like 227 pounds probably his last year. But then you looked at him and you're like, but man, the explosiveness, the length, the flexibility, it's rare. Like, it's rare. So as long as he can hold 240-something pounds at the next level, that's all you need. And then I think – if I remember correctly, Brian Burns actually went to the combine and was like 250 something. Like, he had a tremendous weight gain there.
He was big.
But the greatest things about James Pierce, you hit on it perfectly. Length. I mean, that's one. He has like an arm sleeve on one arm, and I don't know if that makes his arm look longer, but like, he looks like he has go-go gadget arms, man. Like, his length, winning outside of his frame, is tremendous. His change of direction for a guy as leggy as he is, as long as he is special. And his just flexibility in his lower half, he's one of those dudes that can really bend the table, you know, kind of go around outside track. This kid is a special outside pass rusher. Think Brian Burns stylistically. For some of you guys that have been following the NFL draft for a while, think of Javon Kearse coming out of the University of Florida. This is the type of athlete, bendy, outside, undersized rusher that we're talking about with a James Pierce Jr.
So, and the other thing too, that I, outside of the athletic traits that I really like about him, second year, first year as a full-time starter, premieres into this, you know, breakout star. I thought that his hand usage and his pass rush moves were pretty developed for a guy that has little game film, a guy that has played as little as he has. He was able to use his hands pretty effectively and understand how to use them in a way that is going to help him win reps. And I think that also his motor, man, it rivals that of Will Anderson, who, when we watched and we talked about Will Anderson, that was the one thing that I said put him into a generational bucket, that he's got all the traits, but he plays a million miles an hour. And I see James Pierce doing that. At the very least, you can tell there's things that need to be worked on. He needs to add to his frame, and we're talking about some of these deficiencies. But I know that he is going to give 110% on every single rep. On top of this, he is and has been posting videos with Lietu Latu's pass rush coach, whose name is escaping me, who actually I think has come on the show a while ago.
Yep.
Yeah. The fact that he's working with Latu's hand usage guy, and Latu was a technician, not saying he's going to get to Latu level, makes me feel overall pretty optimistic. One deficiency I want to throw out there, though, and this is an obvious one, talking about him not having a ton of weight, just doesn't anchor very well against the run. You know, his impact against the run is pretty limited because he does not have the weight in his ass. He hasn't had enough milkshakes to really hold down and try to locate the football. There's a couple of times where you can really see him get, you know, scooped out, driven out. And then if there's like a tight end helping a tackle in any instance, he's definitely getting driven off the ball. And that's the one thing he needs to work on.
Yeah, I mean, look, he is a 20-year-old right now, which means he was 19 years old throughout the majority of – or a decent amount of the 2023 season. So this is a still a younger guy. And again, I hope that that weight gain is, because I know that rosters lie to us a lot, but there is just zero chance that he was 242 pounds last year. I would be shocked if he was anywhere close to that weight. I hope that he added good weight. The one good thing, Joe, before I kind of, you know, put a cherry on top of the weaknesses column, is I was just looking through his game logs, and even the games where he didn't show up maybe on the box score to the production level that you would see in some other games, I felt like he was still making his he was making his impact known, like in every single game, even against Georgia, where he didn't have a single sack or a tackle for loss. I still noticed him all the time, right? You still see 27 flash and flash and flash, which I think is really important of a note. But I mean, again, 242 pounds, maybe right now he's a lighter guy. You can't expect him to be able to play at the point of attack consistently against bigger offensive tackles or anchoring against double teams or just having an extra blocker in and be able to create instant impact and penetration as far as power in his hands. Like, it's just not going to be there for him. This is a lightly built outside track kid who is going to have to use flexibility and foot speed to win in the run game right now. As he develops power, then maybe he becomes a more steady run defender as far as setting the edge and working at the point of attack. But right now you need to know his limitations. And if he's able to work on those limitations, though, this is a bona fide blue chipper, guys. Like, there is nothing about this kid that doesn't scream double-digit sacks every single season on next level. This kid has special upside, without a doubt.
Yeah, I could really see this ending up being a Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney type of a draft, where even if some teams do need a quarterback, and I think that the most likely thing that does come to fruition is that it is a team like the Cardinals, it's a team like the Panthers that kind of have quarterback figured out, and there's some level of commitment there, and they don't necessarily want to move on from the situation, and they just want to get an investment on defense, and they don't want to pass up on this premier talent. I think that, you know, that's kind of where this is going to end up landing. Ryan, make sure you check out BetOnline for all of your sports betting needs. For anything that I do betting related, I go on over to betonline.ag and I use promo code BELIEVE50. BetOnline has all of the latest updated odds for the NFL and college football seasons. Anything you need, whether it's futures, live in-game betting, no matter what, your football betting needs are met at BetOnline. And again, make sure you use that promo code BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. I want to get to now, let's talk about Nick Skowerton. Man, this kid is so goddamn fun to watch. And he was one of my favorite guys during the season when I spotted him. And he was already out for recommendation on RPM. I made a lot of notes on him, rewatched him this summer, already have posted some clips on him. God, he is aggressive shit. Background on him that you've got, though, 6'4", 280 is nuts. He's built like a defensive tackle, and he plays like an edge rusher, which is kind of insane. I almost wonder if 280 is maybe a little too heavy. But what do you got for notes on the former Boilermaker?
Well, I told you this already, Joe. Younger than James Pierce Jr.
Nick, which is nuts.
His name is, I'm gonna try it. So Nick Tydrick Skowerton, okay, formerly Nick Caraway was what he was originally known as. Changed his name before this past season.
I still
season.
Want to know the backstory for that. It doesn't make any sense in
his bio. It has, I think, his dad listed as Skowerton, his mom listed as Caraway. So I imagine he just took one's name versus the other in the end. Whatever. It sounds like he, that's much different backstory for a different podcast, but I can find out that information for you, no doubt. But he is August 25th, 2004. It's his birthday. We're talking about a 2004 kid, which one, it just makes me want to vomit. But he's 19 years old, and he's not going to be 20 years old before a month before the season starts. Like, just, or actually, the games will start as he is turning 20 years old, which is just absolutely That's wild insane. To think about. Yes. When you look at his background now, he really strange for a Purdue kid originally. So he is out of Bryan, Texas. Okay. Bryan, Texas, went out to play at Purdue. And I looked at his recruiting background as far as his star rankings and everything, Joe, and it's kind of bizarre, man, because I looked at it
And it is similar to what I just said with James Pierce Jr., where it's one, a couple are pretty high on him. And then the others, it's just, it's a very, it's a wide array of opinions on Nick Skaraton or Nick Caraway coming out of Bryant High School. So 247 Sports and Rivals both had him as top 200 player in his class in the 2022 recruiting class. Rivals was the highest, actually. They had him as number 107 overall player, number eight edge, number eight defensive lineman coming out of the 2022 class. ESPN, which I know you said doesn't matter, but also on three, only had him as a three-star player. On three had him as number 51 defensive lineman in the 2022 recruiting class, which is pretty wild. So two four-star rankings, two three-star rankings for Skaraton. But here's the weird part. That's not even the weird part. The weird part, Joe, is at that time, him coming out of Bryant High School, he had one Power Four offer. A single.
It was Purdue?
It was Purdue. Because now you can look at it and say SMU is now a Power Four school technically, but that was his next biggest offer at the time. That was a AAC team. That was a Group of Five team. So he had SMU, he had Tulane, he had UTSA, he had Western Kentucky, Marshall, Memphis, Louisiana, Colorado State, Nevada, New Mexico, North Texas. That was his offer list outside of Purdue. No idea why, because I looked up his production also out of Bryant High School, and he was very productive, played in a pretty strong area of football in the state of Texas, showed up at Purdue as a freshman with 6'4", 260 pounds. Sophomore year, now 6'4", 280 pounds, now over at Texas A&M. No idea why this kid was as lightly recruited as he was, but he did not have an overly impressive offer list, which is kind of odd.
I always find it really funny, and I've kind of had the time to watch a couple of these other edge rushers that are bigger names, and you watch guys like JT Tuimoloau who – now don't have as much production as a guy like Nick Skaraton, and also aren't as springy and explosive and flexible. I just always wonder how recruiting rankings miss on guys like Skaraton, and maybe it's a little bit late blooming.
It wasn't even the recruiting ranking, though. We had a platform that had
the schools too missing out on him, that there weren't any SEC programs, and you know now here he is at Texas A&M. Jumping in on evaluating him, you mentioned the size. 280 is huge for a stand-up rusher, 4-3 defensive end. I think that he could play either role. He is a hulking mass, and he plays exactly how you would expect. He plays like a boxer. He goes to war like he is going into a fight fist first every single time he comes off the ball. I love his get-off. I love his mentality. He is swinging and he is punching. His bull rush is super powerful. He anchors well against the run and locates the football well. And then the last thing that I think really encapsulate his athletic ability and what he brings to the table as a defensive end is his spin moves is super dangerous. Like it is a really, really nasty spin move. He is the technique down to a T on exactly what he needs to do to succeed. And he has the close down ability to produce off of that. So I think that Skaraton checks all the boxes, and maybe he isn't as flexible as Pierce, but I don't see a reason why he doesn't end up being very highly picked in this upcoming draft.
I think that there is going to be an edge one conversation, Joe. Like right now, I probably have Pierce over, and I do have Pierce graded above Skaraton, but like it's not within a difference where it's like, wow, it's not major right now, you know, just kind of to be point blank about it. There is a world where Skaraton is in that edge one conversation because of one thing. That kid, for being 6'4", 280 pounds, it's very rare that you see a kid that's 280 pounds on a 6'4" frame without any bad weight on him. Like he's massive, dude. Like it's wild.
And typically guys that are that big, like Tyree Wilson, are stiff.
Yes.
He's not stiff. There's no like watching him. You're like, oh, I wish he was more bendy. He's not as many as Pierce, but it's like, shit, man, he can really turn the corner if he needed to.
And when you Google his name and you just look like a Google image, or you look at his profile picture, you think you're looking at a 30-year-old man, dude, because he's got no neck. Like he's just a scary looking dude, right? And he's just the frame is the first thing that really pops off. He's 280 pounds and he's clean as heck, right? Mm. But you would say, and you're correct, 280 pounds, 6'4", you have assumptions in your mind, right? He's probably going to be a pure speed, the power guy. He's probably going to be limited flexibility. And while while he's nowhere near in the flexibility category of a James Pierce Jr., at 280 pounds, it's sufficient, man. Like, it's good. It is on a solid overall level, but what separates him is twofold. One, kid is stupid strong for being 19 years old right now. Like, it is rare speed to power. It's very Jared Verse-ish as far as the speed to power components.
The first comp that comes to my mind. And I know it's a little lazy because it was this past draft, but he reminds me of a further along Jared Verse. It's like what Jared Verse could have been if he ended up at a Power 4 program and didn't start out at Albany.
I mean, and it's kind of wild to say because they play a similar brand, but he is 20 something pounds heavier than what Jared Verse played at Florida State. Like, his upside in that category is probably higher, but whether it's the best team on the schedule or the last team on the schedule, you always knew where number five was. Like, he was consistently making an impact on a game to game perspective. It didn't matter who the opponent was. But the first thing, Joe, is Purdue was smart. They knew that he is good flexibility, but he's not the craziest bendy guy of all time. So they actually used him as kind of wide alignments a lot because they wanted him to soft angles a little bit. And when you give this kid a runway, good luck, dude. Like, absolutely good luck. Because what happens is once he gets upfield and he's able to threaten an outside shoulder, which he does on a decent clip, when an offensive tackle oversets and he has his chest towards the sideline, he opens up that inside shoulder, it's over with. Because of a couple things you said. One, speed to power. This kid puts his foot in the ground. He can go down your chest or he can win inside shoulder. Really powerful inside counter type of stuff. But also, spin move. He's got a club rip. He's got a double swipe. Like, there is something in there. There's some tools in the toolbox here, man. This isn't just a speed to power guy. There are some legitimate tools to work with here. And I think that as he continues to develop physically, because I don't think it's a, like, he doesn't lack anything right now physically. It's just about, he's 19 years old, man. He's going to get more powerful. He's going to get more explosive. We have not seen the best of Nick Skarrington, which is a scary thought for the SEC this year.
That's where I'm at. And I think that we saw a glimpse of what he's going to become in the spring game. And I don't want to do the bit of like spring games or everything, but like, he took over that damn game. He took over that game. And I think that the ability for him to be coached by Mike Elko, who is known for finding the best in his defensive linemen. That's to me where I think that this progression takes another step. I don't know if you'll ever completely overtake James Pierce Jr., but I do believe that there is, like you're talking about, a conversation to be had. Yep. I could see them going 1-2. Like, or at the very least, I could see Skarrington ending up being a top five, top 10 pick just because of the value at the position, even though maybe there's a couple of other guys that will have higher grades at other positions.
Well, I think it's going to come down to your scheme, right? Like, what are you looking for on a defensive end? Because the great thing about Pierce versus Skarrington is, by the way, Nick Caraway is a good name. Nick Skarrington is a absolute elite name. Absolutely badass. Elite. They're very different football players, though. If I want the complete outside track bendy dude, then as a team, then yeah, I'm going to want James Pierce Jr. But if I'm a guy that wants a heavy handed edge, so like I think of what Dennis Allen has liked traditionally with the New Orleans Saints with like the Cam Jordans and the Marcus Davenports, I guarantee he prefers Nick Skarrington over James Pierce Jr. It doesn't mean that Skarrington's even better than James Pierce. It just means that he stylistically fits that mold better of a heavy-handed edge setter, a physical speed to power dude. So I think it's really going to come down to preference with these two in the end, because I do believe that if Skarrington has the impact of Texas A&M that I think he's capable of, there is going to be a debate here between edge one. Again,
It'll be the only justified debate. This is not a Tyree Wilson, Will Anderson
situation. No, it's not. It is not. That's a great note. This is a justified conversation because I think that what we're dealing with here is two very young, super talented edges that are completely different, right? These aren't cookie cutters. We're not talking about two kids that are very similar to James Pierce Jr. And it's just like not even a conversation because Pierce is just better than that other player. You're talking about him compared to a Nick Skarrington who brings a completely different skill set to the table. And I do believe in the end, we could have a very in-depth conversation of who is the more talented edge rusher if Skarrington takes that step forward at Texas A&M this year.
At Joe DeLeon, Matt Risen Draft. Hit the subscribe.